Judges chapter 20, verses 1 to 48. What can I say upon this long chapter? I called it Chickens Coming Home to Roost, or something like that. Here is the payday for the sins that have been committed in the previous sections of Scripture. Well, the Levite has sent the pieces throughout Israel, the pieces of his concubine. And all the children of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and from the land of Gilead, they came out and they assembled before the Lord at Mizpah, verse 1. And they decide, after hearing it all, casting it all before the Lord, they rose up to attack the house of Gibeah. In other words, to deal with the men that committed the sin. Now the Levite told them what had happened, verses 4 to 7. But if you read the account, he doesn't speak of his responsibility in it. He evades talking about his own responsibility, how he had acted, his callousness, his utter indifference, his cruelty. But anyway, the house of Israel decides to go to the Benjamites. But the Benjamites would not yield up the guilty men, and so war breaks out. They inquire of God, the Israelites. They seek the Lord, and the Lord guides them. But they suffer defeat, they suffer defeat, they suffer defeat. They weep, they spread themselves before the Lord. The Lord guides them. The Lord says, I promised you, I will be with you. You will gain a victory over the Benjamites. And so they go, they set the ambushes on, and they have a tremendous victory. But as you read these verses, you see thousands killed. Hundreds of thousands fighting against each other. Skillful men fighting a civil war in Israel. And all over what? Because a man delayed his travel by eating and drinking. Disorder, dysfunction, sin, let's call it by its proper name. And the people, the Benjamites, not yielding up the guilty party, but defending the guilty. And so it goes on. Defeat and loss and suffering and bloodshed. What do we have here? Well, one lesson I learn here is what we see in other parts of Scripture. James 3:5, Proverbs 17:14. It only takes a little spark, you know, to set fire to a tremendous area. As I speak, there have been fires in California. Last year, there were fires in North America up near the Canadian border. Yes, a great fire can come from a tiny spark. Or again, Proverbs 17:14, a small crack in a dam, and it produces a tremendous flood. That first crack in the dams of the dam busters raid, that first crack does it all. That first little fissure, and then the water pours forth. Stop meddling before sin breaks out into a deluge. It's little sins which have long shadows. And look at the shadow here. How much blood is shed. How much suffering comes on. How many deaths. How much loss of property. What disorder. What breakdown in family life. All because of sins. There is no little event. And this man is not facing up to his sin. All these things are rebuking us, my brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about nations. It was the nation of Israel. But in our day, we have to apply this to the churches. And we have to apply this to ourselves individually and our families. Death and sorrow comes from these sins. Look when you see how things go wrong. Decadent society. Support of the wrongdoer. Life cheap. Thousands killed. The stupidity of it. People fighting on against grievous odds. And think of all the losses that come here. What a confused society. These are not pagans. These are men and women under the covenant of God in through Moses. They have the law of God. You see, the law can never produce a godly society. It has to be grace, grace, grace. Law never produces godliness. It is grace that does it. And some of our friends who want to preach law, 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 to bring sinners to Christ and to sanctify saints, they do not know what they're about. Preach Christ. Preach grace. And it's not just the preaching of Christ and grace. It's Christ in the heart and in the mind and in the will. It's Christ trusted and obeyed. It's the word of God by the Spirit of God in the days of the new covenant, by the promise of the new covenant through Christ, that brings effective holiness of life. A third lesson I would see here is that providence is a great deep, is a mystery beyond my fathoming. I know I quote it very regularly, judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's works in vain. It's true. Look how God is working here. He's guiding, he's leading, and yet sin is involved, and he's not tainted by it. It is a dreadful confusion. But we live in confusing days. Sin has confused everything. Ever since the fall in Adam, sin has confused everything. And by God's grace, we have to live, brother and sister, under the word of God and look to him to guide us, God himself. I see a fourth thing. I see Israel here could trust in the Lord, and they did. They spread it before the Lord. They inquired of the Lord. But they took steps. They made plans. They raised their army and so on. And there was a victory for them. It's the old story I've preached many times, not only through Judges, but elsewhere in the Bible too. It's not monergistic, it's synergistic. Sinner, God only can save you, but you have to repent and believe and trust Christ. Saint, God works sanctification in you. He works grace in you, but you have to work out what God works in. It's not either or. It's not let go and let God. It's not sit back and trust. It's trust and obey. And we see that in Judges chapter 20. So although it is a confusing and messy chapter, little sins bring tremendous consequences. We see the marks of decadence. Providence is a great deep. The promises do not do away with efforts and plans and works. May God bless these thoughts. It's not been a pleasant chapter to work on, but it's there in the Word of God. It's there as a warning. It's there for our learning, brother and sister. And for you, unbeliever, too. There is a warning, and there's a direction. Seek the Lord now while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. May God bless these thoughts on Judges 20 to us all. Amen.